Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the multitudinous court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and let's finish on verse 5 together, ready? Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go unto the house of the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I don't know of a better sound in all the earth than to hear your people reading your word out loud together. What a blessing that is. In a crowd this size, though, Lord, there's people that have needs, people that have heartaches, people that have burdens. And all of us need your word to teach us so that we can help others. Please fill our preacher with your power. May we listen carefully so that we could walk out and do exactly what you want us to do, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The Bible compares itself to seed. Ladies will understand quickly what I'm about to say. When a lady becomes pregnant and once something is living within her body, she's very aware of it. And oh, the thrill when that baby comes forth. The emotions are mixed. She's hurting but weeping. She's happy. She doesn't know. She's sad, but she's on a roller coaster. And the delivery is such a wonderful thing because the delivery is proof of life. This morning, I do not think I will preach a sermon to you. I think I will deliver something to you. I think I will give you something that if you'll listen, it will help you. I think it will bring life and sustain your life. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we see the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick. He was so sick that he was dying. The preacher named Isaiah came and he said to him, set your business or set your house in order. You're going to die. Now, this was not a doctor saying to Hezekiah he was going to die. This was God saying, Hezekiah, get your affairs in order. You are going to die. The preacher turned and walked out of Hezekiah's house, was heading out of the courtyard. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2 and 3, the minute that happened, Hezekiah went to prayer. He had just been told that he was going to die. Hezekiah had walked with God and served God and done the good things that he could do with his life. Hezekiah falls on his face and he begins to pray. The Bible says that Hezekiah began to weep as he prayed. It actually says that Hezekiah wept sore. What did that mean? There was great weeping. There was a lot of weeping. There was deep weeping going on as Hezekiah prayed unto his God. The preacher Isaiah was walking through the yard in front of Hezekiah's dwelling. It was a large courtyard. Before Isaiah could even get out of Hezekiah's courtyard, God had said to Isaiah, I've heard his prayers. Go back and tell him his life has been spared. The tears of Hezekiah saved the life of Hezekiah. May I say to you today that tears get God's attention. Some of you, you feel like you're dying. Nobody knows, because those fears are personal. But on the inside, you feel like Hezekiah. You feel like you're dying. And though God hears all prayers, He gives urgent attention to the prayers that float toward heaven in an ocean of tears. The tears that run down your face when they reach your lips, they have a salty taste. But may I say, your tears to God are as sweet as honey. May I say to a group of people that I love, it's okay to weep. Teenage girl, it's okay to weep. Heartsick mother, it's okay to weep. Weary wife, it's okay to weep. Grandma, it's okay. You just go ahead and weep if you need to. Grandpa, those tears are good. Unwed mother, who at night you cry yourself to sleep wondering how you can do it on your own. Well, the tears will help. Sick one, may I say to those of you who your body is racked with sickness and pain, it's okay to weep. Widow, it's all right. If you need to cry, you go right ahead. It's okay. Widower, you miss her. You're alone. She went on before, and you're lonely. May I say it's okay to weep. Forsaken one, it's okay to weep. Lonely one, it's okay to weep. Confused one, it's okay to cry. Backslidden one, feeling all alone because of your own doings, it's okay to weep. Fallen one, it's okay to weep. Broken-hearted husband, it's okay to weep. Discouraged one, it's all right. Go ahead and cry. Teenage boy, confused about your home life, maybe you just need to cry. Abused one, cheated one, may I give you some medicine today? The medicine is within your own body, produced through the tear ducts of your eyes. You may need to cry. Dad, with a heavy heart, burdened down with the care and responsibility of supporting your family, may I say, it's okay to cry. Folks, there is a right and a wrong way to cry, but let me tell you, God sees your tears. You see, the Bible says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. John 11:35, the Bible uses those two words, Jesus wept. For some of you, you could memorize your first verse today. It's only two words long. Jesus wept. If you just quote it to yourself a couple times, you'll be able to walk around and say, I've got some Bible memorized. John 11:35, Jesus wept. See, that's an easy place to start. Yes, it is. But may I say, it's a very deep place to start because Jesus wept. Isn't it amazing that God sent Himself in the form of a man, named Him Jesus Christ, and made sure that the whole world knew that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, wept. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, wept. Brother Davis, I thought about it over and over again. When the tears rolled down the face of Jesus Christ and they hit the soil, I pictured the plants and the grass nearby fighting for the opportunity to absorb the moisture from the tears of Jesus Christ. I picture a little blade of grass saying, Do you realize what just fertilized my roots? It was the tears of God. Oh, Jesus wept. Jesus' heart was tender. I think if our hearts are not tender, there will not be tears. If you have no tears, I recommend that you ask God for tears. If you have tears, pay attention right this way. Girls, ladies, over here, stop playing around. Look right this way. Please. This is far more serious than I think you realize. If you have no tears, ask God for tears. If you have tears, be careful holding them back all the time. I don't make my decisions based on emotion, but emotion is a major part of my life. I make my decisions based on principle, truth, and the Word of God. This church will never be ran by emotion. It'll be ran by truth and the Word of God. But may I say, this is a truth. And this is a church that feels very deeply. Tears are like a natural antibiotic that God has given us to heal our emotions. Weeping will relieve pressure in your life. It relieves the pressure of anger. Weeping can relieve the pressure of pain. Weeping can relieve the pressure of grief. Weeping can relieve the pressure of sorrow. Weeping can relieve the pressure of mourning and despair. Weeping will relieve pressure. It's like an aerosol can. Inside your body, the pressure gets built up. And it's like you're ready to explode. I have here an aerosol can, and when we cry, when we weep, it relieves the pressure of your emotional self. It relieves the pressure within your body. I push the button on this can, and there's pressure. But you know, if you let it go long enough, you know what will happen? All the pressure will suddenly be gone. And for some of you, before you explode, you need to relieve some pressure. I remember when my dad used to whip me, and all good dads discipline their children. My dad would spank me, and I would sob, and I would weep, and almost in convulsions. Now, when my mom did it, I faked the weeping. When my dad did it, there's no need for faking anything. I can remember my dad would tell me to go to my bed, and I'd been disciplined because I had done wrong, and I would weep, and I would cry, and I would fall asleep there on my bed. And suddenly, when I would wake up, there was a peace. There was a unique peace because the pressure was off. The wrong had been done. The discipline had been applied. I had wept and let the pressure of my emotional disappointment or whatever it was, that pressure had come off, and I would wake up. I could smell the air. It was so much fresher. I could hear the birds sing, and it was so much clearer. I would see the sun, and it was so much brighter. You say, why? Well, if you'd ever been spanked by my dad, it's like I'd just gotten out of hell and I was free, man. My dad, we didn't mess around at our house. Whatever we did right. And by the way, my daddy will hear this tape. And I thank God that my dad disciplined me. I thank God my dad didn't let me run wild and do what I wanted. And I thank God I did not rebel against him, but I let him discipline me because my dad loved me. You might say, Brother Owens, today I feel like I'm going to explode. Then I recommend that you weep and let some of that pressure off, because that's why God gave you your tears. You see, Jesus wept. Weeping is a strength, folks, not a weakness. Weeping is a strength. It is not a weakness. Jesus was perfectly strong, and yet he wept. We're taught in this society that weeping is for sissies. Somebody lied to you. Because if someone taught you that weeping is for sissies, then they taught you that Jesus was a sissy. And I am offended that someone would teach you that my Savior is a sissy. Oh no. Weeping is not for sissies. Weeping is for real men. Weeping is for real men. Acts chapter 20, verse number 31, the Apostle Paul wept. Psalm chapter 6, verse number 6, the mighty warrior David, a man who fought a bear with his bare hands and killed a bear. A man who fought a lion with his bare hands and killed a lion. A man who fought Goliath, who was almost 10 foot tall, and he killed Goliath with his bare hands. It says that that mighty warrior, the captain, the chief, David, he wept. He wept. You see, weeping is a strength, not a weakness. In Psalm 6:6, the Bible says, this is David speaking, I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. That's not bedwetting, so you know. It goes on to say, I water my couch with my tears. David, the mighty warrior, cried himself to sleep. David had a heart. There's the great prophet Jeremiah. He was called the weeping prophet. Some of you, you may need to stay alive. Like Hezekiah, you may need to weep to stay alive. Hezekiah, he wept and it saved his life. You know, folks, we eat and we drink. We do that to bring energy into our life to keep us alive. It may be your tears need to become your food, so they become your energy, so it'll keep you alive. I had a pastor say to me one day, I had preached, and in my preaching I had a moment where I couldn't hold back. I had to weep. My heart was so broken. This older pastor pulled me aside after I'd preached and he said, I think you're emotionally unstable and should leave the pulpit. I thought to myself, no, sir. If you cannot weep over the heartache of people, you're emotionally unstable and you should leave the pulpit. You see, your tears may need to become your food. Hey, someday, don't eat a meal and go weep. And get the energy your body needs. You know, it's sad. It's sad to me. Some of you, your life is a mess and it's a wreck. What you need is God, but you ignore it. David said this. David said, my tears have been my food. Psalm 42, verse number 3. You know what some of you need? You need the energy, like food would give your body. You need the energy of tears. You need the energy of weeping. Psalm chapter 8, verse number 5, David said, my tears are my bread. Again, in that verse it says, I've drank my own tears. Some of you are starving. You are starving, and what you need is the nutrition of tears in your life. You're going to starve to death, not due to a lack of food, but due to a lack of tears. See, weeping is a strength. It takes a real man to cry. It takes a real mature Christian to cry. Teach your sons it's okay to cry. You see, you're not weak if you cry. You're weak if you don't. Let me ask this to those that serve in this ministry here. Have you been in the ministry so long now that you no longer weep for the people that we serve? You're weak if you won't cry. See, mature people, they don't really care what anybody thinks about their tears. They know tears are from God. You know, when you get something in your eye, an eyelash, you know what God does? He provides tears to cleanse the eye. You know, you get a little dust in your eye and suddenly your eyes will begin to water. What's God doing? He's taking those tears to help to cleanse you so you can see right. Tears will wash away doubt and confusion from your spiritual eyes as well. Preachers, they think they're strong because they stand in the pulpit and they preach bombastic messages and stand on the truth and they rant and they rave and they preach hard. And by the way, I think preachers ought to have that, but I'll tell you something else. Preaching hard is not all that we're to do. I ask that preacher, where are your tears? I was told that you can preach as hard to your people as the depth of your love for them. I say to you, Jesus wept, and I say to you that weeping is a strength, not a weakness. We need to learn to weep for others. Do you weep for others, or is it just for yourself? The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, he said, I cease not to warn every one of them night and day with tears. The great Apostle Paul, the deliverer of truth, one who was given the privilege of holding a pen as God wrote probably 14 books of the New Testament, he said, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. My wife, I've watched her weep. I've watched times when she has a little habit in her life. We'll hear the sirens or see the lights of an ambulance or a fire truck. Mrs. Owens' habit, she's trained herself that anytime she hears the sirens of an emergency vehicle, she prays immediately. And she says, Lord, I don't know who's in trouble, but please take care of them. I've looked over and watched my wife drying a tear out of the corner of her eye for someone she does not even know. But somebody's house is on fire. Somebody just wrecked their car. Somebody just had a heart attack. This old world, people are so hard. People are so hateful. This old world needs to be softened by the tears of God's people. Could I ask you, maybe those of you that are a part of our church, may I ask that you shed a tear for Claire Crabb? Recently, she discovered that she has cancer, went for her first treatments. Brother Crabb called me this morning. He's sick. He called. He said, you got to hardly hear him talk. He said, Brother Owens, I can't be at my post this morning as a host. He said, I'm not feeling well. I thought, well, Brother Crabb's sick. Mrs. Crabb's not well. And facing all the treatments for her cancer. And I stood there on the phone and I hung it up. And I said, God bless them. Help them, please. I thank the Brother Frank Shepherd. What a godly man. For days now. Teetering between heaven and earth. I hope that somebody in this church will weep for his dear wife, Edith, and his children. Because one day Frank will go on. I thank those of you who have lost loved ones to death in recent months. I want you to know, I've not forgotten about you. I was thinking about you. I wrote a little list and put it on my desk today. My sermon does not allow me time to remind every one of you and some back here in the choir. I've not forgotten. I realize someone will eat lunch alone today. And there will be a place empty. Oh, would to God that God's people understood the heartache of God's people. I was thinking of Carrie and Amanda Hart, who had a grandparent pass away. So they're just young people. I know. Young people hurt too. I preached at a married couples retreat this last Friday night and yesterday. And during the retreat, I got to thinking, 1 year prior, I preached at a church up in Pennsylvania. There was a couple there. They came to me and asked my advice on some things. Their names were Terry and Wendy Hauser. 1 year later, I did a couples retreat. Terry, the husband, could not attend because he no longer had Wendy. Because cancer had struck Wendy just suddenly. Within that year's time, he laid his dear wife in a casket. And as I was preaching that couples retreat, I looked out. And it was really strange. All the seats were filled, but there were two that were empty. I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I was thinking, that poor man, he can't come to the couple's retreat. He's not a couple anymore. Folks, do you realize how people hurt? Why don't we learn to weep for other people? I remember one day, my pastor had preached, and he had preached a very hard sermon. His name was Pastor Johnny Crawford, and I remember he had preached a very hard sermon. After the service was over with, I'd never seen him do this. He virtually ran from the pulpit, and he went back to his office and shut the door. I, as a young man, I was very, very inquisitive about what was going on. And I used to just step into his office. Now I know that was very inappropriate. I should have always knocked before I did, but I didn't know. And I'd seen the preacher run to his office, and I ran back there. When I did, my pastor was laying on the ground. And as he laid there on the ground, my preacher was actually laying his body flat on the ground. He was laying and beating his hands and saying, "Oh, God, please. I love these people. Won't they listen?" I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. My pastor was laying on the ground. You could virtually see the carpeting was soaked from his tears. I watched for a minute. I was in shock. I'd never seen anything like that before. I gently shut the door, and I went back to what we called the youth wing, and I just stood there for a little while. I was amazed, and it occurred to me, he loves me so much. I've got to sit up and pay attention. I've got to listen. He was begging God and weeping and telling God how much he loved his church and loved his people. He was so brokenhearted. I remember I used to tell the people that were under my administration at the Great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I said, "Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to try to fight for the front row seats at the church so you can sit close enough to see the preacher's tears while he's preaching. Because sometimes what you don't know is how desperately it hurts to have to tell God's people they're wrong. And to preach the truth is sometimes hard because people misunderstand it. Folks, could I ask that maybe you slow down long enough in life to weep? You know, man will not reward your weeping, but God will. God will. You see, Jesus wept, and weeping is a strength. It is not a weakness, and we've got to learn to weep for others. Learn to weep for others and learn to weep with others. Some of you need to ask God for tears so that you could weep with someone else. You need to learn to weep with your loved ones and weep with a broken heart. I remember a lady came to see me, been years ago. She was sick unto death. She was going to die. She knew it. Her doctors had told her, "You're going to die." She came to my office. She sat down. She said, "Brother Owens, I just want to talk to you for a moment, if I could. The doctor said, I will die soon." I'd hoped, Brother Bush, she wouldn't ask me any questions because I didn't know what to say. I began to weep. I tried to control it, but I couldn't. She began to weep. About 15 minutes later, I wiped the tears from my eyes. She wiped the tears from her eyes. We'd said not a word. She got up. She gathered her things and she said, "Thanks, preacher. That's exactly what I needed to hear." You know, there's some times that words just are not adequate. Because what do you say? What do you say? When you don't know what to say, tears will fill the blanks in your sentence. Tears are a universal language. They need no interpreter. Did you know something? People from every culture understand tears. People in every language understand tears. Learn to weep for others. See, their heartache may be yours someday. Oh, fundamentalist, come down off your high horse long enough to realize those people you criticize because of the heartaches in their life, you may be them someday. And you wish you would have wept for them instead of talk against them. Let me say this, please. Let's not intentionally cause others to weep. Let's not intentionally cause others to cry. Don't make your mama cry. I preached a sermon to our grade school chapel recently about not breaking your parents' heart. Don't make your mama cry. I told the kids this story. I'd come home one night and I'd been getting in some trouble as a teenager, and my mom set me down at the table. Mom was sitting there chewing her juicy fruit gum, and she'd been reading the book. She said, "Jeff, we have a seat for a second." Got very quiet. I sat there, and my mom said, "Son, what are you doing?" She began to cry. She said, "I'm worried sick. You're going to mess up your life." And she just started crying. She cried so much she couldn't even talk. And I thought, "Mom, don't. Don't do that." Now, first of all, you see, I was worried about me. Because those tears were affecting me. And I don't want to feel bad about those tears. And when she got done, I went up to my room. And then it hit me. That's my problem. Why didn't I care about how those tears affected her? I got on my face and I said, "Oh God, the rest of my life, I never want to make my mama cry again. I will do anything it takes. But I never want that woman to cry one more tear over my disappointment." And my mama will hear this tape. And I think she would tell you, she cries for joy, no longer for sorrow. Don't you make your mama cry. Don't you make your daddy cry. You know, I've seen my dad cry for the first time at my grandma's funeral. I couldn't believe it. Grandma was there. I'd helped to do the funeral. And I watched him. I could barely take it. I could barely take it when I watched my daddy cry. It was so good for him. It's been just a few weeks ago. My grandma passed away. I didn't go to the funeral. There were some people here that were hurting and I needed to stay here and help them. I called my daddy and he said, "Son, I needed you for a minute." You know what we did? Me and Dad just cried together. I'd seen him cry once, but this time we cried together. We got done. Dad said, "You know what? Jeff, I think I'm going to be fine. But thanks. Thanks for crying with me." Don't make your husband cry. Don't make your friend cry. Don't make your preacher cry. Don't make your brother cry or your sister cry. Parents, don't break your children's heart. Please. Don't mess your life up and make us weep. I've made my wife cry before. I took her Walmart shopping cart away from her. Let me tell you something. I say this to my wife. "Honey, I never want to make you cry." To my sweet daughter, Charlotta. I don't know where she's at. Right there she is. "Charlotta, Daddy never wants to hurt you." To my son, Jeff. I think he's working in junior church. "Jeff, Daddy never wants to make you cry." Joshua, Jeremiah. My other two boys, I never want to make them cry because of their disappointment, embarrassment of their dad. Never. The Bible says a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Son, let me ask you a question. Your mom have to weep tears because of the way you're living your life? You know what? I never thought I would ever in a million years understand loving people that I don't even know. I always thought that was unreasonable. How could one man love somebody they don't even know? I can tell you honestly, this morning, I was sitting in my seat. No, I was standing here. And there was visitors that were introduced. And I looked out at those visitors and I said, you know, I bet they have heartaches too. When I went back and sat down, I said, Lord, may somehow some visitor that came to this church today listen to this sermon and say, you know something? I got a hunch that man right there loves me. Brother Dula, I never thought you could love someone you've never even met. But somehow I've learned that everybody has a heart. And everybody has needs. And everybody has burdens. And I can love somebody that's having a rough day. And I don't even have to know them. Oh, folks, you can't weep all the time. You can't. It's like anything else. Too much weeping is not good. You may even have to schedule yourself to a degree to handle your burdens. I was working at a place called Task Force Tips in a town called Valparaiso, Indiana, and a man walked up to me. His name was Jeff Sussdorf. I had won Jeff to Jesus Christ. And Jeff came over and he said, do you think you could help my mom? He said, my brother was killed in a drunk driving accident. He said, my mom, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, said my mom cries every day. She does not miss a day. She cries every day and often all day long, and she is ruining her life. It's hurting her marriage. It's hurting all the other kids because all mom does is cry about her heartache. He said, can you help me, please? I beg of you, help my mom. I got an appointment with his mom and his dad. I started out at the greatest healing point of any counseling appointment. I started out at a place called Calvary. I told him about Jesus Christ, and they both trusted Christ as their Savior. Then I had to tell her, I said, ma'am, crying all the time is not right. I do want you to weep. But you're so busy weeping about what is lost that you are not enjoying what is found. You're weeping about what is dead and you're not enjoying what is alive. I said, you must for the sake of your husband and you must for the sake of your children and you must for the sake of your Savior now, you must control that weeping so you do not weep all day long every day. That's what I told her. I said, I, as a doctor, I'm going to give you a prescription. I said, you need to do this. She was going to her dead son's graveside every day. And I said, you must stop that. You must stop it. I said, you need to go once a week. She was locking herself in her room, crying for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day. She was just stricken by the grief to the point that it was out of hand. And I said, ma'am, on the anniversary date of your son's death, why don't you lock yourself in your room for about 4 hours, get out the obituary, read it over and over again, get out his baby shoes and weep until you fill them to overflowing with your tears. Then at the end of that 4-hour period, you walk out of that room. And you go make some cookies. And you go love the people who need your love because that's the way he would want it and that's the way your Savior wants it. I left that appointment. Jeff Sussdorf came to me months later. He said, it's working. Mom has learned she can't cry all the time. But it's okay to cry. You know that the David the warrior, he wept in his room and the Bible says he soaked his couch. But wait a minute. It did not keep him from battle.
I don't know how he did it, but David wept because his heart was broken. But at the same time, David went out to battle. Maybe he fought the battle while the tears were flowing down his face. But folks, you got to keep going. You can't let the burden and the heartache get you down to the point where all you do is weep. No, you rise up. And even if you have tears in your eyes, you go to work tomorrow. And you go do what you have to do and take care of your house and take care of your husband and take care of your wife and take care of your kids. And in the midst of a storm cloud and the rain of tears, I will keep pastoring my church.
Oh, maybe David wept while he fought. Folks, the devil causes many of our tears, but let's not let our tears keep us from going to battle with the one that caused them.
Oh, wouldn't the devil like it that if he caused you tears, it sent you home and you would not come out to fight the battles that are yours to fight spiritually against the one who caused the tears? Should we not go to battle so that somebody else's life would not be destroyed? Could we not salvage someone else so they would not have to cry the same tears that you cry? But if all you do is weep over your heartache and you don't go to battle for God, then the devil will win another victory because your tears kept you from battle.
Fight with tears running down your face. I've got news for y'all. When the devil comes at me and he wounds me, I put my sword on. My sword is rusty. You say, what from, Brother Owens? It's rusty from the tears that I weep while I fight the battle against my enemy. But you got to pick up your sword and get to going. Some of you need to wipe some tears away and get back after your life. Get back after your duty. Listen to me, widow. Listen to me, widower. You can't grieve that deeply forever. Oh, you need to grieve. Please grieve. Please miss them and shed tears over them. Please do. But if it gets to the point where you're not functioning in life, then you're cheating your God out of a life that He gave you. And so, you can't weep all the time. Weep before the heartache comes instead of waiting until the heartache forces you to weep later. See, what do you mean, Brother Owens?
Some of you need to learn to weep now. Because by weeping now, you may save yourself from being forced to weep later.
In Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Some of us better weep for the souls of loved ones now before they go to hell and we weep later.
So, why should I get myself in a fundamental church that teaches soul winning and they're aggressive about people and keeping people out of hell? Because if some of you don't get yourself in a church that will influence you over the souls of men, your family's going to die and go to hell and you'll weep at their funeral because there is so much despair because you know where they went as a result of your lack of commitment to God. I beg of you, weep now for the souls of men or you will weep later.
I'm saying weep before the heartache instead of after the heartache. Every married lady here, listen to me. Listen carefully. You weep for the spirituality of your husband now, or you will weep because he breaks your heart later.
Every husband under the sound of my voice, you need to learn to weep now. Weep now while you have her rather than weeping later because you lost her. If somebody does not begin to weep for the children of America, we're in trouble. Has anybody here wept over the little bus kids but have no mom and dad that care enough to bring them to church? Has anybody? You know those kids that come in on those buses are just as important as the millionaire that sits in my church. Somebody better weep. See out there, there's a child that's lost and lonely. But you're so busy making your money, living your luxurious life, you wouldn't want to soil your hands with the troubles of somebody else's ratty little child. Well, I would.
Once you hear a little song about a child, Brother Hart.
There's a child that's roaming, lost and lonely, looking for a home. Through weary sighs and silent cries, her yearning leaves the home. Through city streets, from town to town, down quiet country roads, she walks alone. Searching will she do, for at last she sees that guiding light brightly shining. As her footsteps takes her closer, she knows no more she'll go. For Jesus is the light, and at last this child is home.
There are thousands of children all over this county. This crisis, the church does not begin to care. What are we going to do? Somebody's got to reach out and tell them about Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to have to weep some tears for the children of our nation to believe there's a Savior that cares. Somebody better speak for our children.
You better weep for your wife. You better weep for your husband. You better weep for your church. Somebody better weep for America. People say America's gone. No, she's not. I will not believe that America's gone. I will not believe that this country is totally sold out to the devil. I pray for the health and the healing of America. Somebody better weep for your son. Somebody better weep for your daughter. Somebody better weep for the lost and for the sick and for the leaders and the followers. The toy you gave your son at Christmas is not adequate, sir. He needs to know that his daddy's heart is tender and that his daddy cares and that his daddy loves him. And he needs to know somehow that down inside Daddy's heart is some compassion and some love for the God of the universe. I'm sorry, folks, I can't tell all of you what to do about your kids. But I can tell you this. If you will fall on your face before God, if you'll let out of your heart and you beg your God to have mercy on your kids, I believe that He can. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, the covering of the altar of the Lord with tears, the weeping and the crying out. There's a story in the Bible where one day God is so moved that an entire altar was full of people. And God looked down and said, look at that. The dry carpeting is wet. It is wet. A woman in the Bible took her tears and washed the feet of Jesus Christ. And the closest you'll ever come to weeping at the feet of Jesus Christ in this life is at the altar of God. My phone rang one morning. A man on the other end of the line said to me, he said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I lost my wife." I do not know if he meant to death or that he had lost her, having been forsaken. He then said, "You saved my life." He said, "You have a sermon on tears." He said, "I was going to kill myself. Someone said, please listen to this tape." He said, "I found out how to get your number. I called." He said, "Sir, I've put the gun down." He said, "Your tears have saved my life." I wonder whose life could be spared because of your tears. If you're here today and you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you die today and you're not sure you go to heaven, and listen, that's not just a religious thing. There has to be a time and a place when you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for you to be saved. If you're here and you're not sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Let me tell you what. This morning, I was in my office with the door closed. And I prayed that God would save you. But not only that, as the tears ran down my face, I said, "Oh God, save the soul nearest hell. May we douse the flames of the fire of hell with the tears of our people." You didn't just accidentally stumble into this church today. God brought you here to save you. If you're not born again, why don't you get born again today? To some of you, whether it's in the balcony or on the lower floor in the choir, and you remember this choir, anytime you need this altar, you just leave your place and you use the altar. Don't you ever let your position in the choir keep you from using the altar. Let me tell you something. There are people everywhere. You're at your wit's end. You say, "I don't know what to do." Hey, I've been there. See, Brother Owens, what do you do when you just don't know what to do? I just go to God and weep. Because He understands my tears. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you're not born again, here's the question. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact, if you died this morning, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? And if you don't know that, you need to be saved. Who here would say, "Brother Owens, I don't know. I'm going to heaven. I want to, but I don't know that I am. I need to be saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I need to be born again." Whether you're on the upper level or the lower level of this auditorium, you say, "I need to be saved." I've seen a hand. Who else? You say, "I need to be born again." I've seen another hand. You say, "I need to be saved today. Pray for me, preacher." I see that hand. Who else? You say, "I need to be born again." If you need to be saved, let me tell you what you do. In a moment, we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. In a moment, we'll all stand. After we stand, the choir will sing a song. The men on the platform will take their place down front at the end of each aisle. If you are not born again, you just dismiss yourself to the right or left. Say, "Excuse me." If there's someone standing between you and the aisle, you go to the nearest aisle. You walk toward the front. You walk up to one of these men and say, "I want to be born again." And someone will take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here and you've been saved and never made it public, you come and tell the men you want to make it public. If you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, you come and we'll baptize you. Are you looking for this kind of a church, a church that hates sin but loves people? That's the kind of church you're looking for if you'd like to unite with our church. If you've been saved, if you've been scripturally baptized after your salvation, you may come. But before I conclude this little speech, may I ask this? Who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm going to listen to today's sermon. I'm going to do something about this. And you'll raise your hand right now. There are hands everywhere all over this auditorium. If you need this altar, don't you hesitate to come. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, a song of invitation, please.